Let's rock and roll. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready to rock and roll. So last week we talked about, we had the whole sermon in two words. Y'all remember what it was?
Just pray.
Just pray. Tell your neighbor, say, just pray.
Just pray.
It's that easy. Just pray. Just pray. It's not hard. There's no magicalness to it. It's just having a conversation with the Lord. Just pray. There's no right way or wrong way. Just pray. And even today, like as we move forward, I can't get away from that thought of just pray. So you're going to hear me say that time and time again, because it's that vital. Just pray. And so we're in this series, this taking our spirit to the ER, our soul surgery. But today I want to talk to you about elective surgery. Elective surgery. Like, this isn't going to be covered by your major medical, but it's necessary all the same, okay? I'm not talking about a nose job, and just for your information, I've had like five. I've broken my nose five times, all in basketball, and you got to get it fixed. And that's why I got this big, big bump, and it keeps, whatever. But that's all we're talking about. Here's the deal. Either I will develop a life of prayer, or I will not. Prayer is one of those things that it either marks your life and everybody can tell, or it does not. It's pretty obvious. And even the people around you can see the fruit of a close connection to the vine, or they cannot. I'll just be honest. For me, it's been like more like seasons of fruit. But I'm never more confident and comfortable with my life than I am when I'm actively engaged in consistent communication, prayer, with the Father. You see, prayer is absolutely necessary for soul survival. This is an elective procedure, though. But if you elect not to undergo this process, your soul is doomed. You know, you can actually go a decent ways in life without prayer. But you never get to live the life more abundantly that Christ came to give us without it. So can you live without prayer? Yeah, your soul can't. Your physical body can move on from day to day,
yeah,
but your spirit can't. An abundant life is the type of life that Christ came to give us. Can we pray real quick?
Hello.
Father, we just give you this, all of it, wholly and completely. Lord, this is your word. This is your presence we're wanting to engage with. So take over. Take control. Father, we give you complete clarity, complete lenience to do whatever you want to do. God, we are your people. We just want to know you more. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. The book of Philippians. That's in the second half of the Bible. The book of Philippians, chapter 4. Starting in verse 10. If you don't have a Bible with you, no big deal. I brought the Sky Bible. It's ready to rock and roll. Are y'all ready?
Let's go.
Let's jump to our feet. We need to we need to wake up again. Let's jump to our feet and let's honor the Word of God. We're going to honor it, number one, by reading it, and number two, by standing while we're reading it, okay? Here's what the Word of God says, starting in verse 10. How I praise the Lord that you are that you are concerned about me again. I know that you have always been concerned for me, but you did not have the chance to help me. Can I just tell you, when you pray for your people, like those in your inner circle, those in your life, like they end up taking the front seat in your life while you get comfortable in the back. This is what prayer does. It shifts the way that you view your life. When we drag someone else's situation to the Father above our own,
yeah,
we develop this supernatural connection with them. Like we feel closer to them because we've already spent time with them in the Spirit. You know that they're going to be praying for themselves. And so you're joining your spirit with their spirit, believing that God's spirit's going to do something about it. This is what prayer does. Paul goes on and says, not that I ever was in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Mm-hmm. Whew, what a skill.
Yeah. Come on now.
I could use a little bit of that. Like, how much simpler would life be if we could simply be content? He keeps going, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little.
Right.
Really? Like how? Tell us your secret. Because if you don't know, Paul is writing these words from a Roman prison.
Yeah.
The dude's in jail. And he was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
What? No. And Paul's like talking about being content. Here's the kicker. For I can do all things mm-hmm. through Christ who gives me strength.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Give an air five to your partner and sit down and tell them, just pray. Just pray. Okay, have you ever heard that one before? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Like, this thing is taken out of context. Over and over and over again, like, you know, I'm gonna dump all my savings account into this one investment. I can do all things. Maybe is that what the Lord led you to? But like, that's not what the context of this verse is talking about. It's talking about being content in your spirit, no matter where you are in life. Okay, I can do all things. I can get through anything that life or Satan's gonna throw at me. Why? Because content. Strength, he says, through Christ who gives me strength. Strength comes from spending time breaking down the muscles and letting them rebuild themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a literal ripping of your muscles. When you work out, like when you're doing push-ups and when you run, when you're lifting weights, like, you're literally ripping your muscles apart. That's the only way that they grow stronger. It seems really counterproductive, but that's how God has built us. He's breaking down the muscles and letting them rebuild themselves. So we're asking God to break down the muscle of pride, of greed, of selfishness. And then what's left is an empty vessel for God to fill with whatever he wants. Everything then becomes possible because of God's spirit, his strength flowing through our lives. Not just anything and everything that we come across, but only the things that God deems good for you. So what we're talking about here is like my wants versus thy wants. My will versus thy will. It's the same thing we're talking about. My wants versus thy wants. So just coming out of Christmas, we make Christmas lists for the boys. Like, shout out to Amazon lists. Like, every person in my family has an Amazon list. And they share it with everybody. It makes Christmas and birthday present time super easy. You just go on their list, pick something, boom. They get exactly what they want. And you feel like a rock star for getting it for you. It's super easy. So we're going, we're in this season, and I'm asking my boys, all right, what do you want for Christmas? And Jed actually has a birthday in January too. So I'm like, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for your birthday? Like, let's get a list going for Santa. And he's like, well, Dad, I specifically remember Jed. He's like, Dad, I need an electric scooter. I need Pokemon cards. I need rollerblades. I let him keep going. And after a few minutes, I'm like, okay, that's enough. That's enough. You are not allowed to say the word need ever again. He was like, but I need. No, you don't. What you need is food, water, and shelter. And you add in a dash of Jesus and you're good to go. Like, these are the needs that we have as human people. I was so tired of him telling us how much he needed all this stuff.
Right.
And then we were at Walmart this past Thursday, and Zeke's like, all right, Mom, on my list, we need popcorn, we need Pop-Tarts, and Jet. Before I could say anything, he goes, Zeke, you can't say the word need. And I'm like, all right, cool. To be fair, I don't think Jet fully understands what we're talking about here, but like, he's trying. You know, we're trying to teach wants versus needs. And to a 7 and 9 year old, those are the same thing. I want this, therefore I need it. How many of us are 7 or 9 spiritually?
Yeah.
How? We'll just let that one hang out for a bit, okay? Prayer resets our wants and our needs. You know what we need? Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know what we need? Jesus. You know what we want? All that extra stuff that he does for us. That is the byproduct of what we need. But we see us benefiting from Jesus, from what we need. And so we attribute our wants, our needs to what he's able to do for us. God loves to give good gifts to those who ask. Jesus said if even an evil father is not going to give his son a snake or a rock, but he's going to give him good things, like how much more is your heavenly father going to do that for you? And so we just assume that we're entitled to all these good things that Jesus is going to do or give to us. Those things are not our needs. This is such a hard thing to shift our prayer life to. Because we are going to ask for things. Present your requests to the Lord. That's biblical.
Yeah.
But that's not the main point of prayer. The main point of prayer is that we get more of what we need. And what do we need?
Jesus.
It's just that simple. Paul said, I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. And prayer reminds us of how God is already more than enough. And so Paul goes on to say, whether it's a full stomach or empty, whether plenty or little, he's content because he has Jesus. But in this same thought here, Paul doesn't separate the physical needs with the spiritual wants. He doesn't separate the physical wants and needs from the spiritual wants and needs. He acknowledges both sides of that coin. But he says they're also like one and the same. What does my physical man need? Well, I need Jesus. You ask Jesus, well, don't you need to eat? Well, he says, I have food you know not of. My food is to do the will of the Father. So whether my stomach is full or empty, I'm good. I'm content. I think that when we don't have a constant intake of Jesus, prayer, we cannot be content in our spirits. It's just not possible for us to do that. And so we end up replacing Jesus with anything that's available. Can I tell you some things that are available to you? Like all the time? Food. Food's available. Money. Sex. Family time. Kids sports. College sports. Professional sports. Any entertainment, music, whatever. All of these things are available, and all of these things can be good in and of themselves and not bad. But none of them can replace the longing in our souls for Jesus. This is what prayer does. It shifts our wants back to our need. Often we mistake this longing for Jesus as a physical want, as usually physical hunger. And so for those of us that are on that are participating in the 21 days of fasting, like we're in this right now. Like we're really wanting that drive-through of Dairy Queen for that blizzard, or we're really wanting to go to Great American Cookie and get the snickerdoodle with ice cream in the middle cookie. You know what I'm talking about. Ooh, if you ask nicely, they'll do mix-ins in the ice cream and then smush it between cookies. Woo-hoo! I have a Holy Ghost party at Great American Cookie, y'all. But that's not what I need. What's happening is your spirit is crying out. When you feel that physical hunger, your spirit is crying out for more of Jesus. We simply think we're hungry, or we're thirsty, or we need another relationship, or we need that promotion. Like, what we need is more of Jesus. That's why Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Mm-hmm. What a promise. Just get hungry. Just get thirsty. But for the right things. For righteousness. The right things. You get that? That's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The spiritual and the physical are more tied together than we will ever know. And this is why a season of prayer and fasting is so vital to our spirits. It's removing a physical want, and that increases the awareness of how much of an idol we've made those physical things. I think food is a ginormous idol for most of us, for a vast amount of our population. Like, if we don't get exactly what we want, oh, I don't like that, so I'm not going to have that. I don't prefer to eat all of the vegetables, so I'm not going to eat vegetables. I don't like this. I'd rather have this. Your body needs fruits and vegetables. Your spirit needs time with Jesus in prayer and in the Word. But I don't like that. I would rather just get the Holy Ghost goosebumps every once in a while, and I'm good to go. Your spirit needs time in the Word and time in prayer. That is what prayer does. It resets our wants and our needs. So we're asking the Father to exchange my wants for thy wants. We're pushing 21 days of prayer and fasting, but the goal is that we will all develop this longing, this annoying nagging to simply spend more time with the Father, to give up things so we can be with Jesus more regularly, to sacrifice selfish wants in exchange for spiritual need. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Uh-huh. We want to end this season not just hungry, but full of Him and empty of ourselves. Yeah. That's the goal of this season of prayer and fasting. But that doesn't happen if we don't spend real time in prayer. So just pray. Just pray. It's really that easy, y'all. Just pray. To pray or not to pray, that is the question. Actually, it's a choice, but that's not how the quote goes. Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, so 1 Thessalonians, that's where that word comes from. 5 and a little bit after that, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Always be joyful. Y'all, where does joy come in? I gotta tell you, like, when I pray, I end up in like just a big puddle of mess. I've become so much more emotional over the last couple of years than I ever have been before my whole life. Like, just a big puddle of snot and tears, and like, is that joy? Always be joyful. Okay, well, when I pray, I should be joyful, but like I look like this. Is Paul talking about like the joy of salvation? Like, maybe he's implying that we should always be joyful because of what Jesus accomplished through his life, death, and resurrection. Like, maybe. And we should be joyful because of that, because without that, we have nothing. But because Jesus did what he did, we can be joyful. But here's what I think Paul is more leaning towards. Joy comes through the ever-growing life of prayer, the ever-deepening connection to the vine. This is where real joy comes in. Joy is the overflow of your pursuit of God. That's what joy truly looks like. When we become focused on knowing God more, we become more full of joy. It's just that simple. Not happiness because something good happened, but joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yeah. You know how hard that was for me not to say that in sing song? Joy unspeakable? Yeah. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Look, we said this last week, but when God's people seek God, they get God. Yeah. It's just that easy. Just pray. This brings joy to our souls as we reconnect with the one who created us. Because we were created for connection to the Creator. When we reset our souls and shifts our wants back to our needs, we end up with joy. To be brought back to the original purpose of our creation will always leave us joyful. Joyful despite disease. COVID. Joyful despite circumstances. Joyful in spite of difficult people. joyful. Joy is the thing that resonates in our life as we connect more deeply with the Father. A life of prayer will always result in a life full of joy. Not a life free from problems. That's not what I said. But a life full of joy as your perspective shifts from, oh, well, God, I want this and I want that, to, I just need you. Yeah. Well, God's what you get when God's what you're going after. It's just that. Just pray. Just pray. This is the beautiful simplicity of prayer. That when we seek God, we get God. Paul says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. Are you praying right now? If not, you're disobeying the Bible. That's what the Bible, it just says, never stop praying. Let me say it like this. I want to pray so bad. I want to pray, but life gets in the way. Anybody feel me on that? Like, I want to pray, but life gets in the way. Kids are out of school. You know, you got to have family time. There's always dinner, which means there's always dishes. You got to work at some point. You got to sleep at the other points. Your wife gets injured helping somebody move, so you got to help her, so there's no more time. And then, like, people get sick. I want to pray, but life gets in the way. I'll just tell you, and you already know this, we make time for what we make time for. Y'all know that, right? Like, whatever you want to do, there's typically time for that. I enjoy running. It's, you know, it helps me, so I do it. And there always seems to be time in my week that I can go for a couple runs, you know, 2-3 times a week. There's always a 30-40 minute block somewhere I can steal and take off on a run. It's good for you, so I can justify it like that. It helps bring clarity to my mind, and so that's good for me. Let me tell you, God's spoken to me while out on a run before. So, like, maybe that's a prayer run. It's good for you. Like, running's good. You always make time for your priorities, but here's my real problem, okay? I'm gonna be real vulnerable with you. My question, as we've started this whole prayer series, is how do I dedicate my entire life to God when I feel so broken all the time? I feel so divided. I want to pray, but life gets in the way. My life feels so fractured most of the time. Is it okay that I tell you this? Uh-huh. Like, I know I need to be doing this and dedicating this time to God, but there's a real need with one of our people, and so I got to help. Do I think I'm God? Like, do I think I can actually do something? Like, I'll bring you some medicine and stuff, but I just feel so fractured. There's just so many different things pulling on my time and on my attention. I just feel so fractured. So what about those pieces of me that I'm too ashamed of to even talk about? What about those pieces that I'm even too scared to look at anymore? You know, I pushed them to the back, the way deep down. I'm not going to bring them out, because that's going to open up Pandora's box. Like, how do I dedicate those parts? Like, I want to give those parts to God, but I don't want to deal with them. Just so fractured so often. But we all know the answer to this, right? It's two simple words. Just pray. Yeah, right. I know this. Because when I am in a season of prayer and I'm actually actively seeking God, those fractured pieces of my life get filled with His presence. That's the beauty of being broken, is that the more broken you are, the more areas that God has to fit into your life. This is a good place to be. Broken is beautiful because the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. So get broken. That's good. Let that pride just wash away. Let it slip out. Let the cracks and the crevices in your life show all to the glory of God so He can fill them up. This is what it is to be broken and in a season of prayer and being totally okay, being content in the season I'm in. I'm broken, y'all. And I'm content. So even those pieces that, you know, we're too ashamed of, to even like talk with your spouse about or talk to your best friend about, God wants those too. He already knows about them. We know that. We don't like to acknowledge it, but we know. But prayer allows us to deal with our stuff. Prayer allows God to deal with our stuff so we can end up with more of Him. So how do I dedicate my whole heart when I feel so divided? Never stop praying. Never stop praying. One of the words that I've caught myself saying less and less over the last season of my life is amen. Like, it's great, it's a biblical word, amen, but it like puts a period on my prayer. I'm one of those guys when I pray, like, I love to like have just big, long, run-on sentences, and all of you like grammar majors would just laugh at me. It's so bad. I'm like, and like, it's just over and over again. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. When a friend or a family member crosses your mind, just pray. The moment they cross your mind, just pray. Just pray. When a situation requires a bit more wisdom than you have, just pray. When something reminds you of that ugly piece of your life you've not dealt with, just pray. When you realize the sin issue you've been fighting has been winning, just pray. When Satan rears his ugly head and you find yourself being attacked on every side, just pray. Whatever comes your way, you always have the choice to pray. It is a choice that you have. This elective soul surgery is always an option that you have. When Amanda got, we were helping someone move and she missed a step and kind of rolled her ankle a little bit. My first response was, I fractured and rolled my ankles like basically from the time I could walk. Like that was such a normal part of my life. And I'm like, oh, I know exactly what to do. Tell me if this hurts. If nothing hurts, like when you do this or that, then you're good to go. Nothing's broken. Get up and walk it off. And that's what I told her. Like, it wasn't my finest hour as a husband, I'll be honest. But you know, like, I knew what to do in the physical. It wasn't until like we got home and she's like, Ryan, my ankle really hurts. I'm like, oh, why didn't I pray? Like, come on. Goodness, just pray. Whatever comes your way, you always have the choice to pray. Prayer, let me say it like this. Prayer releases revelation. But without constant prayer, we can only expect sporadic revelation. However, consistent prayer releases consistent revelation. Never stop praying. It's just that easy. Just pray. Whatever comes your way, you always have the choice to pray. Worship team, come help me out here. I'm going to close. We're going to be short today. I'm totally fine with that. Is that okay if this message is a little bit short? It's such an easy message, though. Just pray. But I'll tell you, I'll be honest, it's so much easier to say than to actually pray. Jesus put it like this. Over in the book of Luke, he told a story. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Let me say that again in case you missed it. Jesus, like the person that is our one need in life, Jesus, that guy, like he came and lived perfect life and then died for the sins that you and I have committed. And then he raised from the dead a couple days later. That guy, Jesus, he said this. He said, he told his disciples the story to show them that they should always pray and never give up. He said, there was a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God, nor do I care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant them justice quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? Just pray. And then you know what you do? You pray some more. You just keep going. Keep on praying. Never stop praying. Maybe your miracle is on the other side of your next prayer. But you don't get there until you pray. And then you pray again. Whether God's answer is yes or no, you end up with extra time in God's presence. And that leaves you with more peace and joy than you had before. Just pray. Fumble through it. Cry through it. Make a mess through it. Write it out. There's no right or wrong way. Just pray. When you don't know what to do, just pray. When you don't even know how to pray, just pray. I gave you my two favorite prayers last week. Jesus, help me. The situational awareness, that prayer. Jesus, help me know what to do. Do I turn right? Do I turn left? Oh, Jesus, help me. What's a legit prayer? And the other all-encompassing one for me is, oh God. Dot, dot, dot. Tear, tear, tear. Snot, snot, snot. Oh God. Just pray. Would y'all jump to your feet? There's an old hymn that I want us to sing together. You may know it, you may not. Kiri, I do believe we have words for this. Y'all just sing with me real quick, and we'll be right back. Jesus. And so here's what I want us to focus on over the next week. It's a simple concept. It's just 10 and 10. Say 10 and 10.
10 and
10. 10 minutes in the Word. 10 minutes in prayer. I don't think 20 minutes a day is going to mess up your schedule. You build that into your schedule anyway for, you know, a nap time or a snack time or whatever. Switch it over to prayer and His Word. You can jump in right where we are in the reading plan. But something happens when you intentionally give God adequate time in your life. What you'll find is by the end of the week that 10 minutes isn't enough to spend with your Father.
Right.
You'll find yourself like 20 minutes into your prayer and you're like, just got done with, oh God. You haven't even brought your list to Him because you're just asking for more of Him. 10 and 10, that's nothing. But I want you to see how much joyful your life can be when you never stop praying. Don't stop praying. Start praying if you haven't, but then don't ever stop. Church, I'm going to pray for you. If this is your first time, I've got a gift for you. I want to meet you right over here. Worship team, y'all can play, sing, whatever's coming next. Y'all are amazing. Father, we just come to You. We thank You for being You. God, and letting us be us. We don't have to be You. We get to be us. I don't have to do Your job. I can simply be Your child. Well, what more could I need than to simply have the great physician, the good shepherd, as my Father? God, I just get to bring all my stuff to You, whether it's pretty or not, and I know it's not. But I'm going to bring it anyway because You are a God who loves me through it. All my brokenness, all the pieces of my life that are fractured, God, that sets me up to have more of You. You fill in the gaps when we have lack. Father, I pray that You would just give us the 10 and 10 on our mind every day. Give us that 10 and 10, Father, and expand Your joy and Your love to each and every person here. Father, we love You and we thank You. Amen.